Well, welcome again to our study on the book of Daniel. And we're coming to chapter 8. We are in the midst of remarkable prophecies that were given to Daniel. And in chapter 8, they were given to him at the time of Belshazzar, who reigned in Babylon. And they were given to him something like 545 B.C. These remarkable prophecies were given to the prophet Daniel, not only to encourage him, but to encourage the children of Israel for countless centuries, and also to encourage us, the church, in the end times. Now we're going to have a look at chapter 8 together, and we find that Daniel had a revelation when he was actually in Shushan, the capital of the Persian Empire, but before Persia actually took dominion. And he lifted up his eyes and he had a revelation of a ram. And this ram had two horns, and essentially, you know, the last was higher than the first. Well, we have the interpretation of these visions because they're given to us in the Word of God, and we are living in a time when we can look back in history and see the fulfillment of these things. We have a tremendous advantage, you know, living in the end times, because all the prophecies that have gone before, we can see so many of them have been fulfilled. And that gives us great assurance and comfort that the things that are yet to be fulfilled amongst the nations will indeed be so. And, you know, the Apostle Paul tells us that by our study and indeed reading of scriptures, we might have hope and comfort. And this is the purpose of these studies in Daniel, that we might have hope in a time when things are becoming very difficult and will become more difficult upon the earth. But as we read the Bible, we can see that God has preordained all these things that we are shortly to enter into, and that he tells us the end of the matter. Well, we're going to study now in chapter 8 an incident in history that concerned two very great, if I could say this, empires. And it's shown to Daniel, first of all, as two beasts or two animals. One, indeed, is a ram, and the other is a he-goat. And we have a diagram here that perhaps will help us. We studied in our previous sessions concerning the empires that Daniel was shown: Babylon, followed by Persia, followed by Greece, followed by Rome, and in the end times it will be, as it were, these 10 toes. Then we saw in chapter 7 how the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the beast were symbolically those of the empires of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome that shall arise again in the last days. But now, in chapter 8, we come specifically just to two animals, and they are the ram and the goat, and they are represented by the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greek. The ram had two horns. One came up first, that was the Medes, the smaller one. The larger one came up afterwards, and that was the Persian people and empire. And so he's been shown this. And we must remember, of course, that he is indeed living in the time of the Babylonian Empire when he receives these visions. So it's very remarkable that God can show these things before they come to pass. But that is the nature of God. You know, in Isaiah, God speaking through that godly prophet challenges those who worship idols. And he says, concerning those that worship idols, he said, you worship them as though they were gods. But he said, have you ever considered this? That the definition of God is this, that he can declare the past, and he can declare the present, and he can declare the future. In other words, that a true God can work in the past to produce the present and to produce the future. And he said, if you are gods to these idols, tell us what's going to happen in the future, what you are going to do in the future. You see, that is a definition of God. God challenging those idols and say, if you are gods, tell us what is going to happen. But of course they couldn't. But you see, this is one of the characteristics and abilities of God. It is to declare the future as though it was already past. You know, it's interesting as you read the prophets, they saw the things in the future as though they had already come to pass. And I want to encourage you, you know, in our study of Daniel, to realize the greatness of the true and living God, the Lord creator of the universe, the one that sits on the circuit of the earth, and the nations are just like a drop in the bucket to him. How God can show Daniel in about 545 BC, how he can show him the things that are going to happen just in a few years, and then also right up to the end times in our days. You see, this gives us hope that things are not just happening. The world is not just turning, and this is happening and that is happening. You know, Luke says this, the Apostle Luke, he said this. He said, men's hearts shall fail them for fear. Why? Because they won't know what is going to happen next. Because things are getting worse. But you see, for us, it's so different. We are seeing things coming to pass of which God had spoken of countless centuries, even millennia previously. So you see, our confidence is in God, who has the whole world in his hand. So what does he say in chapter 8? Well, he says to Daniel, there are two animals, or beasts, if I could say this. One is the ram, and then he sees another one, which is a he-goat. And that is in verse 5, a he-goat. A he-goat that comes so swiftly, and he comes against a ram with two horns, and he comes with great anger against the ram. And then we are told that this notable horn, after the he-goat has destroyed the ram, that horn will be broken into four parts. and the kingdom would be divided into four parts. Well, let us consider then the interpretation of this. As we saw from our diagram before, the he-goat represents Greece. The ram represents the Medes and Persians. And Daniel is being shown that at the end time of the Persian Empire, Greece will arise and there will be a notable king, and he will come with great anger against the Persian Empire. Now, the Persian Empire was a formidable empire. And to understand the anger of Greece, we have to understand what Persia did under Xerxes or Ahasuerus. They came against Greece with something like 2.5 million soldiers. They invaded Greece and they burnt Athens, but they were defeated in a naval battle and they retreated. Well, there is something, if I could say this, that we have to understand about us humans. You know, the character we receive, the nature we receive from our parents. But also, we receive it according to the nation in which we were birthed. And the Greeks had an anger that they retained for something like, well, more than 100 years against the Persians. And so, when they started to become powerful, and Alexander the Great became their king, he turned eastward, and he started to come against the Persian Empire. And in victory after victory, he advanced eastward. Eventually, at the time of Darius III, Alexander took the kingdom of Persia and absolutely stamped upon them and ruled over them. Well, that we know from history really took place. And so this prophecy of Daniel, where Alexander is likened to this notable horn, he is the first king, we are told, in that Grecian empire. Well, we know that Alexander, you know, defeated all these Persian hordes. But then there is another very important aspect of this prophecy that is given to Daniel. And we are told that afterwards the great horn in verse 8 was broken, and four notable ones came up afterwards. Well, that is remarkable. And in verse 22, we find the interpretation given us that four kings shall stand up out of his nation, but not in his power. Well, what does that mean? It means that the notable horn shall die, and his kingdom shall be separated into four distinct nations. And also it says not by his power, meaning that these four kings that stand up after Alexander will not be of his seed. And that was true. You know, from him came Cassander, who took over Macedonia, and then Lysander, who took after Thrace, And then Seleucid, who took after, Syria and the Persian Empire, and then Ptolemy, who became king of Greece. That's exactly what happened. But the prophecy doesn't cease there. And so we see in verse 9, out of one of these four kingdoms came a little horn. And this little horn waxed exceeding great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. Now, when we see the pleasant land mentioned in Scripture, it always refers to Israel. And so, there we have a prophecy. Persia shall be destroyed by Alexander. Alexander shall die, and from him come four of his generals who became kings of his empire, and out of one of them came a little horn. And we are told quite a lot about this little horn. In verse 10, he waxed great, even to the host of heaven. And also he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, and he, by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. Well, as I said, we have the advantage of living in the days in which we do, and so we have history to help us interpret these scriptures. What indeed did happen? Well, this empire of Alexander the Great broke into four parts. And from the point of view of Scripture, and from the point of view of Israel, only two of these kings are of interest to us. One was Seleucid, who was called the King of the North. The other was Ptolemy, who was called the King of the South. And out of Seleucid, out of the Syrian Empire, if I could say that, came forth a man, a king, whose name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Now this man was a very vile man. And he was extremely proud. And his desire was not only to be satisfied with the domains over which he ruled, but also he wanted to gain, if I could say this, much of the old empire of Alexander the Great, and so he came south to fight against Egypt. But it was in about 170 BC, and at that time, another empire was indeed arising. That empire was Rome, and Rome was now becoming powerful. And so, as he came south to come into Egypt, a Roman senator met him and said, "Rome commands you to go no further." And Antiochus Epiphanes said, "Well, how long have I got to make that decision?" And this Roman senator took his staff and made a circle around Antiochus Epiphanes and said, "You've got just the time that you remain in that circle." Antiochus Epiphanes was furious. But he realized his power would not match the power of the emerging Roman Empire. And so with anger, he turned north again. And he came back into Israel. And there, his heart, as it were, was filled with enmity against God, the true God, the God of Israel. And so, first by flattery, Then by force, he ruled in Jerusalem, and eventually he caused the daily sacrifices that were being offered up to cease. And he brought in to the temple and into Jerusalem all Grecian gods and offered up a sow, a female pig, upon the altar of God. Now, as we've already said, God limits a time. And so, here, in Daniel 8, we find in verse 14 that the answer to Daniel's question, how long will these things be? That the answer is given, 2,300 days. And then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What a formidable prophecy. I mean, Babylon is a predominant power. And here God is showing Persia to follow and Greece to defeat the Persians and Alexander the Great, the notable horn, to be broken into four nations or empires to come out of the old Grecian empire. And then Daniel is told, and this happened about 170 BC, and then Daniel is told that this Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, this little horn, shall rise up, and he will come in violence against Israel. And he will cause a daily sacrifice to finish, and many of the Jews he will flatter, and they will, if I could say this, take up Grecian mythology and idols and the like, and then he shall desecrate Jerusalem and the temple, but then he's told it will only be for 2,300 days. Isn't it marvelous how God limits a time? And God says 2,300 days? Well, historically, we know that. And in our book, we have put all the dates and so forth there. But it's remarkable, 2,300 days. And then God raised up Judas Maccabeus, and the Maccabeans defeated the Syrians, and on December the 25th, in I think it was 165 BC, they indeed rededicated and reconsecrated the temple. And it was just 2,300 days. So I want you to be encouraged, you see. The accuracy of the prophecies of Daniel are formidable. And again, we come to this thought of God limits a day. God limits a day. God limits a day for his purposes. His purposes were that Antiochus Epiphanes come down, because he's a type of the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist, we're told, will have 42 months, 1260 days. And so this man here is not the Antichrist, but he is Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, who is a type of the Antichrist. But God has permitted this in history, so that when the Antichrist does arise, we with confidence will know what God said of the type of the Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, limiting his time to 2,300 days. Well, God speaks and says, Well, the Antichrist will only have 1260 days in the zenith of his power. Then what God said about Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, we can have confidence that what he says about the Antichrist will also come to pass. You see, God in his compassion, in his mercy, and in his love has permitted these historical things to happen so that we in the last days might have hope. All the things that God said about past events in history have come to pass with extraordinary accuracy. Therefore, we can, from the study of Scripture, have hope and comfort that in these last days, which are going to be the worst days in the history of mankind, we can have hope and comfort that our God reigns. And therefore, what he says will indeed come to pass. And I want to encourage you, you know, for your own personal life, why not meet God? Why not ask the Lord, Lord, what have you planned for my life? And as you do, it is of such comfort as you see God fulfilling promises that he made when you were young, perhaps as a child. And, oh, how wonderful it is to know that the God who reigns over the nations also reigns and ordains things in your life. And if you are a Christian, you're not alone. For God has an angel watching over you to bring to pass those things that he has purposed in your life. It's so exciting to know God, the God who sees the past, present, and future. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to meet God in this area for yourself. God bless you.